WRXR, Rossville, Chattanooga. A production of Whitfield Media Group. This is the fastest hour in radio. Racing Talk Radio, presented by Optimize You on Rock 105. Your home for NASCAR. Now, live from the Optimize You studio, here's Casey Orr and Sean Whitfield.
Welcome into the program, everybody. Happy Monday. It is indeed time for Racing Talk Radio, presented by Optimize You here on Rock 105. And you know what? We choose not to jump around because we've got to sit right here at the Optimize You studios. And we don't want to jump around and mess up this beautiful table in this studio that Sean Whitfield has created for us, because that is where we show up each and every Monday at 6, like we're doing right now, this instant, and bring you Racing Talk Radio. Plenty to get to today. Big win for Ross Chastain. Another, I don't know if you call it upset or another sniping of a victory when a driver that's not in the playoffs wins a race and keeps the other guys from securing a spot in the next round of playoffs. We'll talk a little bit about Chastain, where are the points at, how'd the race go, and of course, look ahead to the biggest wild card in all of NASCAR, Talladega, in the fall during a playoff race. So we have got tons to talk about. Sit back, relax. It is indeed time for Racing Talk Radio, presented by Optimize You on Rock 105. I am Casey Orr, and across from me, ladies and gentlemen, the reason I show up here every Monday at 6, Sean Whitfield with Whitfield Media Group.
Good evening. Happy to be here. And what a weekend of NASCAR, college football, and the NFL.
You know,
man, it was just a sports.
You and I did not
lovers weekend.
Our teams did not have great Saturdays. Your Georgia Bulldogs losing in dramatic fashion. Well, forgetting to play the first half, playing really good for a quarter and a half, and then getting beat by Alabama. It's kind of soul crushing. Me,
what an emotional, drama-filled game that was.
And then Oklahoma State playing really good for a quarter and a half and then just deciding to stop playing football. Just very disappointing, which kind of leads me to meet. All right, and let's bring it into NASCAR. Would you rather have a game kind of like Georgia, like where your heart just gets ripped out because you're getting blown out and then you somehow are able to scramble back, and with 2 minutes to go, you're thinking, my God, we're about to pull this off. Mm-hmm. Only to not pull it off. And, you know, whether you lose by 50 or lose by one, it's still a loss, right? And it's so heck of a game, instant classic, one of those, but you still lost. As opposed to just getting blown out and you're like, why did I even, like, this is miserable watching this terrible game. It reminds me of NASCAR. Would you rather have your favorite driver blow an engine 20 laps in to where, all right, I don't have to worry about him winning today, so whatever, or come down to the last lap and he, you know, is able to come from a lap down, get past at the very end and not win.
Well, being a dog fan, the first half was just absolutely miserable. And I had already wrote the game off, already knew.
I stopped watching.
I mean, it was a loss in my mind. So everything else that happened in the second half was a gift because I already was defeated. And so, I was disappointed that Georgia lost, but under the circumstances, we were at least in the running and had a chance. Just over 2 minutes, and we had the lead. The only time in the ball game that Georgia led, and then it was, you know, taken right out of our hands there at the very end. But on the other hand, the Falcons won yesterday.
They did end up winning.
That was a big game.
That was it, yeah, because against a rival, the Saints.
58-yard field goal with just a few seconds left
to win
clock.
The game. And they also, I think they were down 14-0 early. And then they stormed back and won with a 58-yard field goal. I actually watched that one. That was really cool.
So it was an emotional filled weekend of sports.
There's just so much sports. And then it was like, oh, and by the way, NASCAR playoffs. It really is.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it was such a great weekend for watching sports because it was cloudy, a little bit rainy still. Kind of, you know, pretty easy to find an excuse to not go outside and do anything. So,
well, you didn't need an excuse. You don't like to go outside and do anything.
I'm talking about the average person. I don't ever want to go outside and do things. You know what? I didn't see you and Mrs. Whitfield at Mass on Saturday. Went to the market. Went to the market yesterday. Didn't see you guys there.
We waved as we drove by.
We did not see you at the market. You know? I was out there supporting
the local
business.
Yesterday?
Yeah.
I was too busy watching football and NASCAR.
But the point being is it was a good weekend to, you know what, let's just let's cook here at the house, turn on every TV we got, and have a ball.
Yeah. Hey, this portion of today's program is brought to you by College Football Radio, presented by Medicare Misty here on Rock 105 and 103.7 KISS FM. I want to ask you a question about Alabama's coach, Kalen. Is it Deborah?
Yeah, Kalen DeBoer.
DeBoer. He makes a sarcastic joke with his team and players in the locker room after their win over
Georgia
Bulldogs. Should coaches be making jokes with their teams, or should he set a better example for the team? The joke was, I thought we were playing Bulldogs, not the Georgia Chihuahuas.
All right. Pretty good.
Saban wouldn't have said that.
Saban wouldn't have said that, but I don't think cameras should be allowed in the locker room. Like, you can say whatever the heck you want.
Well, it wasn't a camera there. It was reported by some of the players.
Well, but that's some, you know. No, I don't think. I mean, that's just good old locker room talk. I don't think that matters.
So you don't think a sarcastic joke made by the new head coach
that's just
appropriate?
No, I don't think. It's perfectly fine. It doesn't matter. Like, it's just them talking and getting excited and, hey, we just won. And I thought we were playing dogs, ended up playing chihuahuas or whatever. I mean, it's kind of, to me, it's like, dude, come up with something better. But, I don't think that's inappropriate.
I just thought Georgia, he should be above that.
Georgia, go win. And he wouldn't say that.
Yeah.
Decide to play the first half.
I don't think Saban would have said it. I don't think Kirby Smart would have
said
it.
Listen, I guarantee you Saban has said some things in the locker room that would make all of our mothers blush. But that's just, you know, whatever. That's just dumb.
Of course, before Saturday.
That's just a Georgia fan trying to find something to get mad about. Shot, you lost.
Is that what it
is? You were not the better team Saturday night.
And of course, Georgia was 45-3 since 2021 season. All three losses are to Alabama. Now it's four losses. So
I want to say
they are 45-4.
Kirby Smart is they beat everybody else, but Kirby Smart's only like 1-5 all time against Alabama or something. Just some crazy. Like it is kryptonite for sure.
Yeah. It was amazing game, no doubt about
Alabama's
it.
Alabama's really the only team right now that can athlete for athlete line up with Georgia. It's back in the when Alabama and LSU used to have all those awesome games. LSU was about the only team that could line up athlete to athlete with Alabama, and you know, it wasn't really a difference. So it just came down to who had the better night.
Well, you know, our Tennessee friends hasn't played anybody yet, so I would say that their whipping is going to be soon.
Tennessee is still the best team I've seen play. I think they're very good.
They hadn't played anybody.
Well, they beat OU. OU beat Auburn. They shouldn't have, though, and I will never give OU a compliment. But Tennessee is still very talented.
I mean,
Tennessee, Georgia, and Tennessee, Alabama.
Tennessee's they hadn't been on stage yet to really prove themselves.
They have not. Yes, they have not. They have not had a big game. But October is a murderer's row for those guys.
Yeah. So other than sports,
so this is the kind of stuff you get when you have. When you tune into College Football Talk, right?
Yeah.
Your podcast?
I have become a college football SEC media guy now that I'm co-hosting College Football Radio, too.
Okay, that's good.
My talents are just
widening. You got a lanyard and everything?
No, but you know, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
I need one. Matter of fact, I need to check into that. I'd look good with a college football lanyard, wouldn't I?
I think you would. press.
So the weekend was good.
Yeah.
You had Chattanooga Market. You had sports. Anything else exciting?
That's about
it. You went to Mass.
Just a good old, you know, typical weekend. Yeah, it was good.
Are the Girl Scouts selling anything right now?
Not doing Girl Scouts this year. So you won't be able to get your cookie fix from us.
What? Yeah. No Girl Scouts?
Taking a little bit of a break. Fifth grade, you know, got a little more studying to do. So we had to prioritize some time.
I'm a little disappointed. I'm going to have to find me a new little Girl Scout to buy my cookies from.
I'm not upset at all.
You're not bothered at all?
Not a bit.
Hey, on today's show, we got something a little extra special. Coming up at the end of the first half hour, beginning of the second half hour of today's show, we have got the Grand Marshal of the 5th Annual Chattanooga Motor Car Festival, which is going to be in downtown Chattanooga, October the 11th and through the 13th. We've got David Hobbs. And anybody that knows a lot about sports car racing and Formula One, and then you've watched a lot of motorsports on television. He used to be a commentator alongside with Bob Varsha. They used to be on Speed Channel together. He's been on, used to be a part of CBS Sports. And I think now he is doing motorsports with NBC Sports. But he's going to be joining us on the Optimize You hotline. We're going to spend a few minutes talking about him and his longtime career, as well as he is going to bring us up to speed on a big motor car festival that's going to be coming to our scenic city.
That's right, and he's British, so you know, don't sit there and think, oh, what part of Georgia is he from? No, he's from England, so that's where that accent's going to come from, Sean.
Yeah, he definitely has the accent. Of course, we're used to an accent now. Now that we have somebody,
even though you hate it, he's outstanding.
I think he's okay. I don't think it's a good fit for NASCAR. I just don't.
Oh man,
that Australian accent just on NBC and USA
needs to be American.
It needs a Southern voice.
Oh, God.
You're getting
regional with it.
Well, that's the roots of NASCAR.
Yeah,
that's where it all began.
I don't need to hear Junior's Southern voice be the lead on much anything.
Maybe they make Michael Waltrip the lead.
No, Michael Waltrip, I'd love him in the booth. You gotta have a Mike Joy, man. I think he's Northeast.
Mike Joy is good old
non-regional diction leading the party.
All right, when we come back after the break, we're going to dive into the NASCAR weekend at Kansas Speedway. Also, I got a little bit of a rant today.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I got a rant today, something I need to get off my chest.
What's it pertaining to?
I've ranted about this before, but I think it deserves a little extra attention.
A little get off my grass moment.
I'm going to share that when we come back.
Can't wait.
And, of course, today is presented by our friends at Optimize You. You can find them online at OptimizeYouChattanooga.com. Also, too, if you miss any portion of today's broadcast or you miss any episode of Racing Talk Radio presented by Optimize You, you can find us at your favorite podcast platform. Just search Racing Talk Radio Download. That is Racing Talk Radio Download, or you can go to our website at racingtalkradio.com. All right, more NASCAR to come straight ahead right after the break. For Casey Orr, I'm Sean Whitfield. Stay with us.
We'll be back faster than the last lap at Talladega. Racing Talk Radio on Rock 105. It's for the all time in the SEC. Join us each Saturday morning at 9 a.m. on Rock 105 and 103.7 KISS FM. College Football Radio, presented by Medicare Misty on Rock 105 and 103.7 KISS FM. A production from the Whitfield Media Group.
Listen up, Chattanooga. Mandy Livingston, General Manager for Optimize You. Have you been feeling like you aren't the man or woman you used to be? Have you been told it's normal and comes with age? Well, I'm here to put that talk to rest. At Optimize You, we are a hormone replacement center that specializes in both men and women's hormones. We believe that normal is not optimal. Find us online at OptimizeYouCenters.com.
Yeah. NASCAR is cranking up, and Sean Whitfield and Casey Orr will get you right in the middle of it. Tune in Mondays at 6 p.m. for Racing Talk Radio, presented by Optimize You on Rock 105, a production of Whitfield Media Group.
Join Ed Jones and Clint Powell each Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for Vital Health Radio, presented by Vascular Institute and Vein Clinic on 98.1 The Lake. It's a radio show about living a healthy life, a production of the Whitfield Media Group.
At Texas Roadhouse, they're famous for their hand-cut steaks, fall-off-the-bone ribs, made-from-scratch sides, ice-cold beer, and their irresistible fresh-baked bread.
They take great care in everything they prepare, served with big smiles at a great value.
Texas Roadhouse is always focused on providing legendary food and legendary service.
Download their mobile app, place an order, and pick up curbside. Texas Roadhouse, located at Shalford Road and I-75.
Love some fresh Mexican food? Do you like to eat healthy? I've got the place for you. Check out Dos Bros Fresh Mexican Grill. They offer tacos, healthy bowls, burritos, nachos, salads, and quesadillas. They're located at 2396 Lifestyle Way, Chattanooga, right behind the Embassy Suites at Hamilton Place. If you're a student and need a job while in school, Dos Bros is now hiring and offering a sign-on bonus. See store for details.
More NASCAR ahead with Casey Orr and Sean Whitfield. Now, back to the show. Racing Talk Radio on Rock 105.
Welcome back. Racing Talk Radio presented by Optimize You here on Rock 105. Sean Whitfield and Casey Orr each and every Monday at 6, doing just this, what we're doing right now, bringing you NASCAR news and information, getting ready to break down the Hollywood Casino 400 presented by ESPN Bet. Saw Ross Chastain get his first victory of the season. After all this time, the Watermelon Man gets his first win, of course, about four races too late. Still doesn't make the playoffs, but does get to, I guess, rain on the parade of some of the guys trying to lock themselves in to the next round of the playoffs. That was race one of the second round. And race two, coming up this weekend. Sean, we head to Talladega. What's going to be louder, Talladega at the checkered flag or Bryant-Denny Stadium?
When
the game was over.
I think it was louder when Trump came out on the football field at the Alabama-Georgia game.
Yellowwood 500, Talladega Super Speedway, coming up this Sunday, 2 o'clock. Yes, old Trumpy was there.
Yeah. I noticed ABC didn't they didn't cover much of that, for sure.
Yes.
But I saw a little video, that I forwarded you today.
Yeah.
And when Trump came out on Saban Field, it was Sweet Home Alabama, because that crowd went wild.
Well, like I said to you, when all of a sudden you start agreeing with a lot of people from Alabama, might want to check your life decisions.
You never know.
Go look in the mirror.
You never know. Trump might show up at Talladega this weekend. He's been known to show up at a race or two.
That would be good for him to be.
Kamala's never showed up at a NASCAR race.
And you know what? I don't think, if I was in charge of her campaign, I don't think I would schedule that. I probably. Sadly, and this is
why would you not schedule that?
Don't you know what? You're not going to change the mind of a lot of people showing up and waving, and you're probably only just going to invite things.
Those are votes she needs to be getting out there and earning, and building bridges and relationships.
So the way that this is certainly not a political discussion, but the way that our electoral college works, it's kind of a bummer, because not the electoral college, but I'm just saying this time of year, because about what, 7-8 states are really going to decide who the next president is. So if you live in one of those states, like Alabama, or actually Georgia's purple, right? So that you're going to get like
Pennsylvania, Michigan.
They'll actually come to your state and be like, hey, we're going to do good for you and make all the promises that politicians normally make. But California, Kamala's not going out there. What's the point? And Trump's not going out there. What's the point?
She ain't going to California. She just went to the border the other day. I mean, she's not going to California.
Well, I just, okay. Fox News, Sean. I'm just saying, if you don't live in one of those eight states, you kind of lose out on, you know, some like the rallies that matter, I guess.
Yeah.
That being said, I can only imagine the TV in all those states. I bet every other freaking commercial is just like, oh my God, blow my brains out now. Because, you know, it's just constant. And I saw during the Alabama game, I saw for commercials for both candidates. I was a little shocked about.
Yeah, there's heavy advertising, radio, television, social media. It's everywhere. Hey, let's shift gears just a moment to a little more serious topic. You know, we're all aware of the floods and devastation of the hurricane that, you know, the after effects of the hurricane has hit Western North Carolina, East Tennessee, that whole area of the Appalachian and Blue Ridge Mountains. Roads, I heard today there was over 400 roads reported by the Department of Transportation in North Carolina that are just impassable. And the NASCAR community has stepped up right now. Hendrick Motorsports, Joe Gibbs Racing, along with Greg Biffle. Greg Biffle has his own helicopter. They are all donating their time and efforts in their aircraft, whether it's planes or helicopters, to assist in the recovery efforts there in North Carolina in the Appalachian region, which, you know, they have dealt with landslides and intense flooding. So there is a number of different locations around Chattanooga that are heading up relief efforts. So just tune yourself in to this station as well as TV stations and other forms of media, and you can find how you can support and give back to these people that are greatly in need.
Yes, man, our wishes, well wishes really go out to everybody that's been affected. You know, Sean, it's funny. We were expecting Chattanooga to get a lot of the remnants of the storm, and I don't know about you. Well, you don't ever work anymore, but everybody, like there were a lot of places closed down on Friday.
Just
a lot of schools.
You got some fake news on this program today.
Schools were preemptively closed Friday, and we kind of all battened down and waited and expected the worst, but it really nothing more than just a big old rainstorm, which is good for us.
I think we got between 5 and 6 inches.
But I think it kind of, I don't know, it made us overlook that a lot of places did get it pretty bad. And yes, impassable roads. I think even parts of Tennessee up by Bristol and stuff are being affected. So hopefully a speedy recovery to everybody out there.
Yeah. All right, let's dive into the NASCAR weekend at Kansas Speedway. Ross Chastain got the win. He led the last 21 laps of the race to earn his first victory of the 2024 season. We would identify him as the spoiler. He took the win out from one of the playoff drivers to get his first win of the year in, of course, as I said, fifth victory of his career in 217 NASCAR Cup races. This is his first victory and fourth top 10 finish in 12 races at Kansas Speedway. William Byron came in second. He posted his eighth top 10 finish in 14 races, his 15th top 10 finish in 2024. A crowd favorite, Martin Truex Jr., came in third. Oh, how we'd love to see him get in victory lane before the end of the year.
Like, would you not just be so upset if the one race too late you decided to get the win?
And Martin Truex Jr. led five laps, so good day. Finished in third spot. Fourth, Ryan Blaney. Fifth, Ty Gibbs. Sixth, Alex Bowman. Seventh, Christopher Bell. Eighth, Denny Hamlin. Ninth, Chase Elliott. And 10th, Zane Smith.
Six playoff drivers finishing in the top 10 at Kansas. Some other drivers, Daniel Suarez in 13th, Joey Logano in 14th, Chase Briscoe all the way down there in 24th position, also followed by Tyler Reddick in 25th, and Kyle Larson, bad run for him. He finished 26th. Austin Cindric, probably the guy that surprised most of us by making it to the second round. He has given himself some hills to climb the next two races. Sean, he finished 34th.
All right, it's time for my rant. And I'm going to make this brief because we're up against a break.
This is brought to you by
Lawnmower Company, our
because
guest today.
Sean is about to tell you to get off his grass.
Seven-time champion Jimmy Johnson.
Jimmy.
Was interviewed before the race yesterday talking about how much fun he is having. How can you possibly have fun when your entire organization is not doing well? And then on top of it, you are not doing well in the races that you run. Jimmy Johnson finished 36 yesterday. And that's pretty typical. How can you say, as a seven-time champion that came from one of the top teams and top organizations in the sport, and now you're out there running races, and you have no business out there running races, and you finish 36. You started 35th. That makes no sense to me. Jimmy Johnson, let's remember you as the great champion you are, not as the driver that has no business being out there on the track and exposing yourself to our young generation and leaving the young generation to see you driving and finishing the way you are. And the young generation, the new NASCAR fans, are not even going to know. And remember, Jimmy Johnson is a seven-time champion. They're going to remember him as the driver that couldn't drive worth a crap right now. So that's my rant.
I am okay. You know what? Congrats. That is one of the silliest rants.
No, again, it's true.
That I've ever heard.
It is absolutely true.
Jimmy Johnson's place in history is firmly solidified. He is a first ballot Hall of Famer. History will remember what a great race car driver he was. Not that he tried to self-fund a team or kind of had a smaller team that they're just trying to get out there. Being out there at the race is a win for him. When you're Jimmy Johnson, you don't worry about the trophies
anymore.
Yeah, but
how could you be having fun when you start 35th and finish 36th?
Because he's out there battling and competing, which is something he enjoys to do. He enjoys doing. That is such a strange rant for you.
No.
What does Jimmy Johnson having fun and being out there racing? Why does that upset Sean?
It upsets me. It disappoints me. To think, I'm a
he's
big fan of Jimmy Johnson.
He's still Jimmy Johnson.
But don't keep running when you've got no business running. Be a businessman and run a team and organization. Focus on getting the organization better instead of you being in a race car. I mean, that's what I don't get.
I just don't
understand.
You don't think Bill Dance every once in a while just wants to go fish for the love of it, not to win a tournament?
Yeah, but who cares about Bill Dance? I don't even hardly know who he is.
Oh, my God.
All I know is he's fishes. That's all I know about it.
That's the point. Kevin Van Dam, Hank Parker, you name it. You don't think sometimes they don't want to just go fishing for the fun and not to win a tournament? He's just out there for the love of racing. And you know what?
Oh my gosh.
He can do that because he's Jimmy freaking Johnson. There you go. Anti-rant.
That does not help. That does not help at all. There were 10 caution flags for 47 laps and 30 lead changes among 15 drivers. 30 lead changes.
Remember that movie Billy Madison with Adam Sandler?
No.
Okay, that also doesn't surprise
me. I've got a lot more things in my life to do than sit around and watch
movies. Our listeners do, but there is a very famous scene in there where Adam Sandler kind of gives an answer to a question, and it's a bit of a rant. And then at the very end of it, looks at the teacher, and the teacher goes, "Wrong. In fact, I am now dumber now that I've heard that." And that's kind of how I feel about your rant right now.
Oh, my gosh. I totally disagree with you. But I feel better now. All right. We want to thank you so much for joining us and making us a part of your Monday. We're here each and every Monday at 6 o'clock right here on Rock 105, getting you up to date on everything NASCAR. We've been doing this for nearly 24 years. Almost 24 years we've been talking NASCAR, and we couldn't do it without all of you. So thank you so much for joining us. We are presented to you by Optimize You. You can find them online at OptimizeYouChattanooga.com. We come back after the break. We're going to be joined by a motorsports legend. He's going to be the Grand Marshal in the 5th Annual Chattanooga Motor Car Festival, David Hobbs. We've got that and more as we continue. For Casey Orr, I'm Sean Whitfield. Stay with us.
We'll be back quicker than Sean can drink another Monster Energy. Racing Talk Radio on Rock 105.
Are you into fitness, bodybuilding, or just want to live a healthy life?
Are you looking for a new show that's very entertaining and different?
Well, I've got the show for you. It's Chattanooga Fitness Download, presented by Optimize You. It's a podcast that achieves all of these goals.
Join professional bodybuilder Matt Davis, me, Darren Johnson, and Sean Whitfield.
You can find Chattanooga Fitness Download, presented by Optimize You, at all major podcast platforms. Also, check out our website, ChattanoogaFitnessDownload.com.
Are you looking to take control of your health and live your best life? Then this is the podcast for you. Join Josh Porter and Mandy Livingston as they share cutting-edge research, practical tips, and inspiring stories to help you optimize your physical, mental, and emotional health. From nutrition and exercise to hormone optimization, we cover it all. So tune in to Optimize Health and start empowering your health one episode at a time. You can find Optimize Health at your favorite podcast platforms or online at OptimizeHealthNow.com.
Vector Security can create you a home automation solution that will give you the convenience and peace of mind of being able to control your security system, lights, locks, video, thermostat, and more, all from your Vector Security app.
Vector Security provides professional alarm and security system monitoring to ensure your home is well protected against all threats.
Vector Security has 24/7 expert security monitoring, lifetime satisfaction guarantee, complete home automation, and is 100% wireless.
Choose Vector Security. Find them online at vectorsecurity.com.
NASCAR fans, listen up. NASCAR is a sport where testosterone is a must. Optimize You has got you covered. Join Sean Whitfield and Casey Orr Mondays at 6 p.m. for Racing Talk Radio, presented by Optimize You on Rock 105.
At Silverdale Baptist Church, we exist to lead people into an authentic relationship with Christ so they will worship God, grow in their faith, and then serve the Lord. Learn more about us and discover a campus and service time that fits you best at SilverdaleBC.com.
Listen up, Chattanooga. We've got a radio show that's just for you.
On the Move Radio, presented by Medicare Misty on 98.1 The Lake, each Saturday morning at 9 a.m.
We're a radio show that's all about Chattanooga and the Tennessee Valley.
Join Sean Whitfield, Amy Morrow, and Barry Quarter as we discuss government, events, entertainment, lifestyle, and so much more.
For past shows, check out onthemoveradio.com.
A production of Whitfield Media Group.
This is the fastest hour in radio with Casey Orr and Sean Whitfield. Racing Talk Radio on Rock 105.
Welcome back to the program, Racing Talk Radio, presented by Optimize You here on Rock 105. Sean Whitfield and Casey Orr. We are here each and every Monday at 6, getting you caught up to speed with all the weekend's NASCAR news and information. And, of course, looking ahead to the race coming up this Sunday, the Yellowwood 400 from Talladega. That's coming up this Sunday at 2 o'clock. And also, Sean, another thing. Got something coming to town for all the motorsports enthusiasts out there.
That we do. We love motorsports of all types, even though NASCAR is our favorite. But we've got a big event coming to Chattanooga, and I want to bring on our guest joining us on the Optimize You hotline, and he is going to be the Grand Marshal of the Chattanooga Motor Car Festival, and that is David Hobbs. Hello, David.
Hi there, Sean. Grand Marshal sounds very grand, doesn't it?
Yeah. It sounds like you're going to be very special when you come to Chattanooga.
Well, I hope so. and I hope I can fulfill my duties. But it's going to be a great weekend. I've been to a number of these Chattanooga Motor Car Festivals, and they really are some of the best fun. They end up with the big Concours d'Elegance on Sunday, where they have some fantastic cars and some great judges.
Yeah,
and it's one of the best fun events of that type in the country.
Well, I definitely want to talk about the Chattanooga Motor Car Festival, but before we do, for those people out there that may not know who you are, or they do know who you are, but they don't realize just how broad your resume is. You have been a driver, race car driver, as well as you have been very well known as a broadcaster. If you would, give a brief overview as to who David Hobbs is.
Well, I raced for 30 years, including a couple of years of real club racing to start with. And first of all, my mother's old Morris Oxford, and then my dad's old Jack. And I finally made it into the sort of professional ranks. And I raced for a long time, did a lot of different things. I did the Indy 500 four times, came fifth in 1974. I did the Daytona 500 once, didn't finish.
What year was that, David?
1976. And I did the Michigan 400 on the same year. And I drove for Junie Dunleavy in the Michigan race. The Daytona race was not my best event. I mean, I on the Thursday in the 100-mile heat, I came eighth. So I started on the eighth row, which wasn't too bad for a beginner. And the car wasn't great. It was Benny Parsons' backup car. But it was a couple of years old. It really wasn't that fast. And but I started on the middle row. And, of course, in those days, you wind it up in gear, and the flag dropped, and we start to pick up speed through turns one and two at Daytona and three. By the time you come off four, you're about up to racing speed, which then was, you know, right about 180 mile an hour. And as I turned four and went in, looked into the sun, and the smell of smoke and cement dust and oil and God knows what else, and the sun's blazing on the windshield, and I'm being banged on every side, the back, front, side, people hitting the wall, you can smell the cement, and I'm thinking, should a country lad like me from Upper Boddington, England, should I really be in this? In here at the moment? It was pretty daunting.
So was 1976 the only year you participated in NASCAR?
Well, in a way, yes, it was. But, of course, I did 18 Daytona 500s and Talladega 500s, the one that's just coming up. I did that and had 18 Michigan races on the TV with CBS. And, of course, I was part of that first broadcast that ever for NASCAR, flag-to-flag coverage of the Daytona 500 in 1979.
Yeah.
Because I was already working for CBS. I'd started there in 76, and 79 came around. Of course, NASCAR, Ken Squire, who unfortunately passed away last year.
Yeah, legendary broadcaster.
They owe him a debt of gratitude because he just bitched and moaned at CBS for years. You know, you got to get NASCAR. You got to do NASCAR. That's where it's all at. That's the upcoming series. And of course, all those guys, you know, on Madison Avenue in New York, they thought of NASCAR as just a sort of regional redneck sport, and didn't really take it seriously. Then finally, in 1976. Clarence Cross, who was the vice president of sports for CBS at the time, came down with his wife to watch the 500 because it was a good time to get away from New York for a few days because of the weather in February. And he saw it, and obviously, I guess he, you know, thought this was a good thing. And Bill France, Big Bill, was not very keen on it at all. He thought it would destroy the live audience. He thought it would kill, so he blacked it out in Florida. He blacked it out in Georgia and South Carolina and Alabama. But, of course, after the race, the ratings were pretty good, much better than the people in New York thought they would be. And because a massive snowstorm swept across the north and central part of the state, so a ton of football games were postponed, and so everybody ended up watching the race. And they had a great rating. And the whole thing, I don't know what they paid for the rights fees, probably peanuts, you know, probably $300,000 or $400,000, maybe $500,000, I don't know. But when you think of NASCAR's current TV broadcast, which is about $10 billion over a 10-year period, I'd say they did all right out of it.
Yeah. When you look at the television broadcast of NASCAR today compared to back when you were doing it for CPS, I guess no comparison. Anything stand out to you that has really surprised you about where television's gone in motorsports and especially NASCAR?
Well, of course, there's been so much development of onboard cameras, which kind of in this country started on in NASCAR. Those in-car cameras make a big difference. Mm-hmm. I don't know how many cameras we had there. We had a lot. They were amazed, you know, because they used to go to football matches and they'd have 10 cameras, say, or 14 cameras in a football ground. So that was pretty easy done. But suddenly, if you want 14 or 15 cameras at Daytona, the things are two miles apart.
Yeah,
you know, they had a high camera that looked east over the Lake Lloyd, and showed back the back straight. They had a lot of cameras. It was a big production. They put a lot of effort and money into it. They didn't mess about with it. They did a good job. But of course now, there are so many cameras and so many in-car cameras and in, you know, unusual places under the fender and looking out the front low down and looking out the back low down. And we were in on the ground floor of in-car cameras. And they, funnily enough, the in-car camera idea came from Australia. They used to use them in their supercar series, which was their saloon car racing, their sedan car racing. So this Australian crew came over and fitted up Cale Yarborough's car. And again, the crew of the car were very worried about what it would do to the electronics on the car and would it interrupt with the ignition and, you know, would it upset the car? So everybody was very wary. Anyway, during practice and everything, there was this funny humming noise and they couldn't trace it at all. They just, what the hell is that? You know, we can't see any feedback. We can't see any electronic reason. It's all, well, the camera's insulated. The wiring's all insulated. It shouldn't be being affected by the wiring on the car. And it turned out to be Cale. who apparently, when he's going through the radio, he comes to the corner, and that's what the hum was. It was Cale Yarborough humming. Everybody was relieved.
Oh, that's great. We're talking to David Hobbs, former race car driver. You know him from CBS, Speed, NBC, also Motorsports Hall of Fame of America member. David, I've got to ask you, we talk NASCAR all the time, but one of the big resurgence, and it just seems like it's everywhere now, is F1. And I know you spent a lot of time covering that. How and why has this gotten so popular again worldwide?
Well, you got to, you know, Netflix is the answer, the short answer to that, because NBC lost the contract to ESPN at the end of 2017. And in 2018, Netflix did that driving series, you know, on Formula One, which was an in-depth coverage of it. So you saw all the guys in the garage, and you heard all the swearing and the swear words and the cursing and as they struggled with the cars, and they had in-depth cameos of all the drivers, you know, people like Daniel Ricciardo, who are always very photogenic and is a laugh a minute and smiles all the time. And so they got to know the drivers, and suddenly everybody's talking about Formula One. And of course, it made a huge difference to the viewing audience. The racing itself has also improved a lot. The Liberty Media, who took it over just right about the time we left, which is an American company, focused a lot more on America, so they suddenly jammed in more races in America, which we'd been asking for years, because America, you know, as a continent, is as big as Europe, which has had about 10 races, and America only ever had one. And then suddenly, you know, we got three races here, Miami, Austin, and, of course, Las Vegas, which opened last year in the night. It's a night race. It's piqued everybody's interest, and there's some good racing. And there's a lot of very, very interesting people involved of all sorts of nationalities, Spaniards, Italians, French, English, Finnish. And the teams, of course, are all different nationalities. So I think it's opened people's eyes to it. And there's been some very, very good racing in the last few years. There was good racing before, but no one ever tuned in to watch it.
Yeah. I remember you when you were on Speed Channel. You seemed like you did a lot of broadcasting on Speed.
Yeah,
and then Speed went to FS1, and then since then, you went to back to NBC Sports. Are you still with them now?
No, they lost the contract to ESPN.
Okay.
With Formula One, I did Formula One, first of all, for CBS. 1976, we did the Grand Prix from the U.S. Grand Prix from Watkins Glen. Then I did quite a few other Formula One races with them. We did the French Grand Prix a couple of times. We did the British Grand Prix a couple of times. And we did the U.S. Grand Prix a number of times. And we did the Long Beach Grand Prix, which used to be Formula One. I did quite a bit with them. Then I went to ESPN and did Formula One, did a whole bunch of stuff for Formula in ESPN, did sports car racing. We did Le Mans 24-hour race. We did Formula Atlantic, which was a big deal in those days. Then, of course, I was still with CBS. And then I had this call from a guy called Dick Scanlon, and Bob Scanlon. And Bob said, you know, Roger Warren and I are starting a new network called Speed Vision, and we're going to have all sorts of racing, Formula One, sports cars, Le Mans, motorbike racing, aeroplane racing, boat racing, and we'd like you to join us. And they offered me more money than I'd ever been paid before. So in 1976, Sam Posey and I started with Speed Vision, which was a great success. But Fox had were one of the investors, and they had a clause in their contract that they could buy it out. And Roger thought they'd probably do that at the end of about 10 years. Well, they actually did it at the end of about 4. And so he lost control, and Fox took it on, and it turned into first of all, Speed Vision to Speed Channel, then just to Speed. And as you now say, it morphed into FS1 now, Fox FS1 now. But so, yeah, I had quite an experience. And then when they lost the contract, when Fox lost the contract to NBC, I thought, that's it, my days are done now. And I got a call from Sam Flood at Schwartz in NBC in New York, said, hey, we've had so many emails and so many texts and so many phone calls and letters saying we've got to keep you guys on, you and Steve Matchett. So we both transported from Fox to NBC for 5 years. And then at the end of the 5 years, they lost it again, and ESPN wanted to use the Sky broadcast from Europe, from the racetrack. Mm-hmm. So they didn't need any production people or any commentators. So that was it. That was the end of the road.
Wow. Well, I want to make sure we talk about the Chattanooga Motor Car Festival. We've got a few minutes to do that. You're going to be coming to Chattanooga on October the 11th, 12th, and 13th. You're going to be the Grand Marshal. So if you would, tell us a little bit about that. That's going to be right here in our hometown.
Well, it is. On Friday, they've got the opening sort of exhibits are, there's going to be a bit of a parade, and there's going to be a gathering for the air-cooled, which those basically all those air-cooled Porsches around about 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and then get a walk down to the convention center, and then the welcome party which features the Broad Arrow auctions. They've got some tremendous cars there, which they're going to auction off, all of which will be way too expensive for me to bid for. And then around about 8:30, they're going to have the Street Festival on 8th Street, which will be in front of the Western, live music and stuff like that. So that'll be a lot of fun that night, I think. Then they've got a parade on Saturday, which goes from about 11:30. There's going to be a parade of cars running through the streets. They've got a rally that starts events off on like the Wednesday, which goes out into the hill. Well, I think they've still got it. I don't know. How much damage is that up in Chattanooga from that storm?
We really didn't have any damage in this part of the state. We had between 5 and 6 inches of rain, but it was more all up in upper East Tennessee.
And then on Saturday, of course, they've got the gala at the Western. And, of course, all this is to raise money for the Neuroscience Innovation Foundation down there in Chattanooga, which the four brothers have been big sponsors for many years. And of course, this festival is all part of a money raising event for the Neuroscience Innovation, which is very advanced. Well, neuroscience, which of course is vital to help with healthcare, and so that's where the money's going to go.
Yeah,
and I can't believe the 3-day tickets are only $20.
Yeah, I was going to say it's a very cheap, inexpensive ticket. Yeah. $20 for all 3 days, Chattanooga Motor Car Festival. And of course, you can get more information at ChattanoogaMotorCar.com. That's ChattanoogaMotorCar.com. David, for anybody that's out there listening, serving as a Grand Marshal, is there going to be an opportunity at any time of the event to maybe get a photo with you or autograph or anything like that?
I'm sure there will be, because not every day is full up. I mean, the Saturday program seems to be pretty light. And so I expect I should be around, I'll definitely be around town somewhere.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly what they've got lined up for me yet. Yeah. But I'm sure there's going to be places where I'll be stationary, and I'm always willing to do photographs and sign autographs and stuff like that. So, yeah, I'm sure there'll be lots of opportunity.
Well, David, when I was doing a little homework on your history, you've got a very fascinating resume. I even noticed you were in two or three different major movies. So you you have done a little bit of everything in your life.
I grew up watching Stroke Race, and I immediately recognized you and the voice. I said, how cool.
Yeah.
I was going to miss Stroke Race. I did Cars 2 with Darryl Waltrip, and we did a cameo, a couple of cameo roles there. Didn't last long, but I mean, we were in the movie, and and it's amazing. But the only thing I never did, I never rallied. I never did any rallying. Mm-hmm. And I never drove on dirt. I drove ovals, some ovals, and a lot of sports cars, sedan cars, Indy cars, NASCAR, bit of everything. And I've driven in lots of countries, Australia, Japan. I never raced in South America. I raced in Mexico a couple of times. Raced a lot in North America, lot up here in Road America, where I live in the summer. And so I've had a very interesting career, and the most interesting thing about it from my point of view is I'm still here talking to you, when about 60% of the people that started with me didn't make it. So it was very dangerous in those days.
Well, David, we certainly appreciate you spending a few minutes with us. We welcome you to Chattanooga here in about a week and a half, almost 2 weeks. Yep. October the 11th, you'll be here in the scenic city, the Chattanooga Motor Car Festival. And again, folks, you can go online, ChattanoogaMotorCar.com, for more information. Thank you so much, sir.
Well, thank you for having me on.
You're very welcome.
Pleasure. Thank you.
All right. It is time for us to take a break. When we come back, we will have a few closing comments, and we'll find out who Casey thinks is going to win Talladega. We got that and more straight ahead. For Casey Orr, I'm Sean Whitfield. Stay with us.
Racing Talk Radio on Rock 105. Do you love Southeastern College football? If so, we've got the show for you. It's College Football Radio, presented by Medicare Misty on Rock 105 and 103.7 KISS FM. SEC at its best. Join us each Saturday morning at 9 a.m. on Rock 105 and 103.7 KISS FM. Nothing but the best in SEC football talk and information. That's College Football Radio, presented by Medicare Misty on Rock 105 and 103.7 KISS FM. Production from the Whitfield Media Group.
Hey Chattanooga, Josh Porter here for Optimize You, Chattanooga's number one clinic for both men and women's hormone replacement. Are you suffering from fatigue, low libido, or just not feeling yourself? We are the answer you have been looking for. My team and I are here to help you become yourself again. So find us online at OptimizeYouCenters.com.
Hey!
Hi, I'm Sean Whitfield.
And I'm Blake Watson. Join us every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. for your home radio on 98.1 The Lake.
Featuring a variety of topics, all related to your home.
A production of Whitfield Media Group.
At Texas Roadhouse, they're famous for their hand-cut steaks, fall-off-the-bone ribs, made-from-scratch sides, ice-cold beer, and their irresistible fresh-baked bread.
They take great care in everything they prepare, served with big smiles at a great value.
Texas Roadhouse is always focused on providing legendary food and legendary service.
Download their mobile app, place an order, and pick up curbside. Texas Roadhouse, located at Shalford Road and I-75.
NASCAR is cranking up, and Sean Whitfield and Casey Orr will get you right in the middle of it. Tune in Mondays at 6 p.m. for Racing Talk Radio, presented by Optimize You on Rock 105, a production of Whitfield Media Group.
Every child deserves a chance for a healthy, happy life. But when pediatric cancer strikes, it leaves a lasting impact on not only the diagnosed child, but their parents and siblings too. The Austin Hatcher Foundation for Pediatric Cancer is here to erase the effects of childhood cancer and empower families to thrive during and after a cancer journey. Through a variety of support programs such as grief groups, counseling services, art and music therapy, and more, we provide comprehensive, no-cost services and care to children and their families. Join us in making a difference. Visit hatcherfoundation.org to learn more and get involved.
Buckle up and hang on with Casey Orr and Sean Whitfield, Racing Talk Radio on Rock 105.
Welcome back, Racing Talk Radio, presented by Optimize You on Rock 105. Sean Whitfield and Casey Orr each and every Monday at 6, getting you up to speed on all the NASCAR news and information. Big win by Ross Chastain this last weekend. Doesn't really matter, though, Ross. Congratulations. You get a trophy. You're not in the playoffs. However, the 12 guys in the playoffs will go to the second race of the second round, the round of 12, and that's coming up this Sunday at Talladega. Sean, the Yellowwood 500 from right down the road. Be sure and tune in 2 o'clock on Sunday.
It's going to be on NBC on network television.
Big boy network.
Looking forward to that. And of course, it was a pleasure to have a conversation with David Hobbs. I remember David very well on his years of Speed Vision and Speed Channel. And I had no idea that he was a part of the first ever NASCAR broadcast on CBS, which the highlights of that get played back over and over throughout NASCAR, you know, throughout the years of NASCAR. That's something that we've seen many times, but it's going to be a great event coming to Chattanooga here on October the 11th.
That'd be fun to sit there with, you know, like you said, a bourbon or something and just hear the stories. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, you have like interview time on radio or whatnot, but when you can sit there and actually ask him, hey, what was it like back in 76? I mean, the things that went on and the cool stories and the famous people had to just be a ball.
Yeah, all the behind,
racing, man. Golly. Yeah.
All the behind-the-scenes stories, no question about it. You know, Casey, you asked him about Formula One and its popularity, and he basically summed it up in one word, and that was Netflix.
Netflix, yeah.
Which we have heard and talked about that here on the program before. NASCAR spent a lot of money to bring Full Speed to Netflix last year. NASCAR has just announced here recently that they are going to bring back Full Speed for a second season, and it will premiere on Netflix in 2025. So I'm assuming that Netflix is at the track now through the end of the year, doing all their production and filming to prepare for the premiere of Netflix in 2025. And I think NASCAR was able to confirm and document that was a great investment for the sport, and I'm glad that they're continuing
it. Yeah, it can only be beneficial. Zero downside. It probably doesn't feel as organic as the F1 series, just because the F1 series just kind of hit at the right time and mm-hmm. It wasn't really planned as a marketing tool, but it certainly came out as one. The other thing that doesn't hurt F1 is the fact that in Europe, these guys are massive stars, and like, you know, they date supermodels and all. Like, it's a big deal to be in F1. It doesn't translate as much over here, But like he said,
and there are no budgets in Formula One.
You always want America because the size of it. So you just get some viewership over here, and it's exponential rewards. But anyway, I look forward to watching Kyle Busch play the spoiler at Talladega.
So you think Kyle Busch?
Sure, why not?
Kyle Busch is going to get the
win. I don't think so. I hope so.
Well, I'm going to go with Martin Truex Jr.
Okay. I like it.
I am wanting to see him win one on the way out. That's for sure. But whoever wins, we'll be here next Monday at 6 o'clock right here on Rock 105 to break down the NASCAR weekend. Also, share with you all the news on and off the racetrack as we continue the NASCAR Cup season. And we got, what, six more races to go? If I got my numbers right?
That's right. This is the second race of round two.
Six more races to go. All that's going to happen again coming up this Sunday at Talladega. But in the meantime, we want to thank all of you out there for joining us. We are presented to you by Optimize You. You can find them online at OptimizeYouChattanooga.com. And if you've missed any of today's broadcast or you want to go back and hear our interview with David Hobbs, you can find us at your favorite podcast platform. Just search Racing Talk Radio Download, and that will be up on Tuesday morning. All right, that's going to do it for us. For Casey Orr, I'm Sean Whitfield, and thank you for listening.
This has been the fastest hour in radio. Racing Talk Radio, presented by Optimize You on Rock 105, your home for NASCAR. Join Casey Orr and Sean Woodfield each Monday at 6 p.m. on Rock 105. Check out our website and for past shows, racingtalkradio.com. This has been a production of the Whitfield Media Group.